All right, welcome everyone to another Wednesday evening here on peoplesinternetradio.com, and I'm also on PSN Radio, thanks to Angel Espino. I have a very special guest on tonight. She's a bit of an anarchist to the system. She has been written about in a few different online publications. She has two sites. She has TamadJadaClark.com, and she also has, JusticeJadaClark.com. I want to welcome Tamah Jada Clark to the show.
Thank you so much, Stephen.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. We love anarchy. I do, anyways. I love anarchists. I try to get as many as I can on. Do you? Is somebody on listening in the background or anything like that? I'm getting a little bit of an echo.
No.
No. Okay. Maybe I'll just back my microphone down a little bit. Yeah, that worked. Let's talk a little bit about your background, Tamah, first, and then we can get into a bit of your story.
Did you have any particular questions? I noticed you introduced me as an anarchist. One other person last week identified me as an anarchist, although I don't identify myself as one. I understand.
You don't,
you
really?
Know. No. Well, but that's okay. I'm not offended by it. That's all right. Yeah. I understand what you mean by it. You know, just basically that the corruption and other things, like I see through it and I don't agree with it. I don't support it type of thing.
Oh, yes. Well, that's actually what I meant. If somebody were to characterize it, they would call it anarchy.
Right. Yeah, I know. I've been finding that out.
I was wondering if you might back your speaker down a little bit. I think that's maybe where I'm getting the echo from.
Is this better?
Sure. Well, it seems to be, yes.
Okay.
Let's get into a little bit of your background.
Okay, sure. What questions did you have?
Well, just your personal background. What you've done before this, before the article came out.
mostly I just do regular stuff, make a living and take care of my family and things like that.
Okay.
The article.
I guess that's what I meant. I guess that's what I meant. Are you a housewife? Are you a working housewife? Are you a stay-at-home mom or?
I'm a stay-at-home mom, but I work from home. I do a lot of research, and I also manage our family businesses and things, but I stay at home with our child. I do a little bit of everything.
Well, that's good. Let's talk about the events that led up to to your article. It's the people started writing about you.
Okay, sure. Basically, I filed two federal lawsuits last July because of the situation with my husband. He's still incarcerated. That's why I filed the lawsuits, because it had to do with like a lot of human rights violations and a lot of fraudulent things that, quote, law enforcement, unquote, did pertaining to his incarceration and things. So I filed the two federal lawsuits, although people only know about the one that pertains to the now infamous notice to F the court and everything that it stands for. That's how it happened. Just trying to fight the good fight, I guess you'd call it. And what happened during the proceedings was that the judge kept suppressing different truths and things that were being revealed during the lawsuit. And so I just got fed up toward the end, and I kind of just let him have it, because I was just appalled at the fact that it wasn't that the judge and the court don't know about certain things that they do that's illegal. It's that they don't care.
Yeah, yeah. I know exactly what you mean. They know they're doing illegal things, and they are just trying to hide that fact for, I don't know, a long, long time now. But what happened to your husband that he got incarcerated?
Well, to be honest, he and I got into it, and so then the police got called, and basically it was supposed to be about domestic violence, like we got into it type of thing. But it wasn't about that ultimately for the police, because what ended up happening, they ended up sentencing him to 50 years in prison for alleged domestic violence charges against me. And of course, I'm alive and I'm fine. And it was just ridiculous. The whole thing was ridiculous. And so what happened was, is that when they were trying to prosecute him on the charges and put him away for a ridiculous amount of time, I refused to cooperate with them. And so the district attorney that was trying to prosecute him in Gwinnett County, Georgia, they came to get me and our child from Florida at gunpoint, and brought us back to Georgia to make me testify against my husband. And I refused. And so they put me in jail, you know, to make me testify against him. It was just ridiculous. Long story short, like I said, they extradited me from Florida to Georgia. I was tackled while holding my infant son. He was an infant at that time, by about 5 police officers or whatnot. And they took him, my child, put him in state custody and put me in an all-male suicide ward at the Gwinnett County Detention Center.
All-male my husband, suicide ward?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, goodness. Well, you know, police officers and especially district attorneys, like this one particular guy, his name is Daniel J. Porter. He's been a district attorney for a very long time, and he's known for being cocky and getting away with a lot of stuff. You know, that's no secret. He himself, during this whole incident that I'm talking about, he was being investigated by the Georgia Bureau of Investigation for stacking juries and things to get more convictions. Georgia is known for corruption, rampant corruption, especially Gwinnett County. But anyhow, yeah, they put me in the all-male suicide ward and whatnot. When my husband found out that I was in an all-male suicide ward and our son was in state custody defects, he agreed to take a plea bargain. It was a blind plea, so he didn't know what he was agreeing to. They made him agree, you know, to sign the plea before they told him.
Wow.
Right.
Is that the way it works down there, huh?
Yeah, things are, you know, different in the South. Things are special in the South, if you will. I was born down here, but I grew up in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. So I grew up right around the corner from the FBI and the CIA and things. And my peers were the children of ambassadors and, you know, things like this. And, of course, children of CIA and FBI agents and things. So that's where I came from, although I was actually born in Florida. And so, yeah, I wasn't used to that kind of behavior. It was a shock to me at that time. But anyhow, yeah, so they tricked him into doing that. And as soon as he accepted the plea, they immediately released me and my child, and nothing ever happened as far as, you know, they couldn't press any charges against me because I hadn't committed a crime. They were just doing dirty deeds in the dark, I guess you could call it. We all know that in the dark, crazy stuff happens, and people will do all kinds of things if they think that no one will ever find out about it, or that they can get away with it. And like I said, this particular Georgia County, they're very cocky, and the district attorney, he's been in that position for at least 20 years. He's very cocky. And so he didn't anticipate any of this happening. But anyhow, so the federal lawsuit stemmed from that whole situation that we were just discussing.
What were some of the main things that you knew that this federal judge was doing illegally?
He was wiping the record. He denied me access to the court. He would remove my paperwork from the record, all kinds of things. Because the thing is that, okay, again, I'm from Arlington, Virginia, which is like 5 minutes outside of Washington, D.C. Like, people think that the Pentagon is in Washington, D.C. No, it's in Arlington, Virginia, where I'm from. That's how close D.C. and Arlington are. It's like one and the same almost. But anyhow, and so I grew up in somewhat of a bubble because, life is just really different there than it is here in the South. And so it was very world-changing for me, everything that happened surrounding my husband and whatnot. And I couldn't make sense of it because it was just so foreign to me. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure out how, if in the Declaration of Independence and things, it says that people are supposed to be treated a certain way or, you know, have unalienable human rights. How could it be that certain things like this happen? How could this be justifiable? How could all of the rampant and obvious corruption that happens every day, how can all of this take place when the founding charters make it very clear that this type of stuff shouldn't be taking place? So that commenced a very deep journey into American jurisprudence, like law, civics, history. I studied all of it very, very, very thoroughly and in depth to try to make sense of it and see where things went wrong. And so I found it. I found out exactly what went wrong. I found out how the federal government and the state governments and law enforcement officials do very blatantly unscrupulous things, but they get away with it. You know, what they're doing is unscrupulous, and it's unlawful, but it's legal. It's unlawful because they're doing it through deception, but it's legal because they actually are telling you what they're doing, but people don't read. It's right. Like when the federal Congress prints, when they're trying to get a law passed or a bill passed into law or something. I mean, the paperwork might be several hundreds of pages just for a very otherwise simple law that they really could sum up probably in a couple of pages, but mysteriously they end up writing some hundreds of pages that they know most people don't have the time or even the competence to maybe thoroughly get through. And so that's intentional, of course. And so my point is that all of the corruption, it's being done legally. That's the kicker. That's what I found out. And that's what I exposed in the court proceedings, over the course of hundreds of pages of documents that I submitted, work and research and things that I did, but the judge just removed it from the record. He refused to acknowledge it. It made him angry that I had the audacity to present the fact that, you know, this is a fraud and you're a traitor, like, and you know what you're doing type of thing. So, yeah, he ended up dismissing the lawsuit. Go ahead.
It probably made him angry that you actually realized that he was doing something illegal. Most of these people just don't really expect someone to not respect their authority. This alleged authority, anyways, they really don't have authority over us. They need us to contract every single day, and they need our permission for everything virtually.
Absolutely, and people give that permission without realizing it, and that's what was revealed in the lawsuit, is exactly how this big fraud has come about and the solution to it. And so for obvious reasons, he couldn't let it fly. And so when he dismissed the suit, he said because there was no opposition, like, to the defendants, because I was a plaintiff, so he said that there was no opposition to the defendant's request for it to be dismissed. But that's a lie. There were hundreds of pages that were wiped from the record. I actually posted one of the documents that I submitted to oppose the dismissal with the certified mail receipts showing exactly when the documents were submitted to the court and everything like that. So for him to say that there was no opposition is an outright lie that has already been proven. But yeah, pretty much he couldn't. The system cannot afford for the masses to understand what's going on, or the fraudulent aspect of the system would collapse. You know, it operates off of ignorance. And so once that ignorance is no more, then the fraud and the corruption can be no more. And so they couldn't risk me winning that lawsuit because I was beating them very badly. The opposition was the assistant state attorney of Georgia, as well as two private federal attorneys, and they were all teamed up against just me. And of course the judge, Senior Judge Willis B. Hunt Jr., he's been practicing law since before I was born. For I think about a little over 50 years. He's 83, I believe.
That's the problem. So, he's just been practicing law. He hasn't really gotten it right yet, because if he'd have gotten it right, they would be doing right things, but they're not. But I wanted to mention also to Ma that man cannot make law. Laws are inherently natural. Man can only make policies, regulations, things like that, you know, and that's all they can do. They can call these laws, but they're not really laws.
Well, you know, honestly, there are different species of laws. So what you're referring to, Stephen, is natural law,
legalities,
which of course
yes.
would be, yeah, and that man cannot make or tamper with. And intelligent men, such as the founding fathers and others around the world, what they do is set up societies and make their law closely resemble natural law as much as possible, with the understanding that anything else won't last long term because it goes against the natural law, and so it's bound to collapse eventually type of thing. Well, the country was founded in accordance with the principles of natural law, but it has strayed from that and is now being sustained on statutory law, which is a law that's made by man through legislation, which is what you also said.
That was the other word I was trying to search for. They make legislative law, they make administrative law, and they make policies and regulations.
Right, exactly. And then they get people who are ignorant because people won't open books and it's not about just cracking a book open one time. It really is a way of life. It's not something that you can just dip in and out of every few months and you're okay. No, it's like something you got to take on full time. It really is a way of life to understand what's going on, to not be susceptible to it. And at this point, I think people kind of are starting to realize that, hey, maybe she's not so crazy. Because, you know, a lot of articles try to say I'm crazy and I'm a sovereign citizen, all this other stuff, which is crazy in and of itself. But I think what people are starting to realize is that there's no doubt about the fact that I really let that judge have it. But nothing has happened to me. Whereas if anybody else had done it, they wouldn't be put in jail. They would have been put under the jail. But the judge can't do anything to me because he doesn't have he understands that he doesn't have jurisdiction over me. He understands that I understand exactly what is going on and I won't fall for the same traps that someone else would or have. And it's like with my husband and that plea bargain, when you sign it, it's like a big stack of paper and they flip it toward the end and they just tell you to sign it. They really hurry you up and rush you and you can't read it. And what most people don't understand is the people who are sitting in jail, they've all sign some paperwork to be sitting there type of thing.
Right.
You know, and they don't know what that paperwork says. And that's intentional, of course, because people might start to wake up to the fact that, you know what, you've agreed to this madness and you're taught through propaganda that, oh, this is the way it is. Such and such and so have authority over you just cause you were born on this continent type of thing, which is ridiculous. No, like you said, Stephen, everyone is agreeing or tacitly consenting, which means they're not opposing it. Outright opposing it. So that's considered tacit consent. But yeah, everyone exercising authority over you is either doing so through tacit or implicit or even explicit consent. And people really need to wake up to that fact, wake up to the fact that they're giving their life power or energy or whatever you want to call it over to someone, whether willingly or unwillingly, whether knowingly or unknowingly. It's them. They're the source of the madness in their own life. And that's the real kicker about everything.
Well, it is, Tamar. People don't even realize, especially some here in America, they call themselves sovereign citizens, like you happened to mention
right.
a minute ago. And that's nothing but an oxymoron, because you can't be sovereign and a citizen of the United States at the same time.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And that's why, I mean, if you look up the article or look up my name, Tamar Jada Clark, then you'll see a lot of these mainstream outlets have labeled me as a sovereign citizen, defending my civil rights, which are outright lies. I'm not a sovereign citizen. I'm too intelligent to label myself as such. And furthermore, it wasn't a civil rights suit. Again, it was a human rights suit. And what the suit revealed is that when you go into U.S. courts, you're not being adjudged under the principles of human rights. You're being adjudged under the principles of statutory law, which, as we know, natural rights or human rights, they're one and the same. Unalienable rights, those terms are all used interchangeably, as opposed to statutory rights or civil rights, because civil rights are,
yes.
you know, rights that are granted statutorily. So those terms are also interchangeable
yes.
for the most part.
And for the most part, they don't even exist. And for the most part, natural law and the other one that you just happened to mention don't exist in the court system the way it is today.
Yeah, the way that it is today, the human rights, the unalienable rights that the Declaration
yes.
of Independence speaks of, and, you know, all of the federal constitutional protections, like, you know, the right to keep and bear arms and blah, 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 those are also based off of more of the natural law aspect of things, or the unalienable rights mentioned in the founding charters. But what people don't understand is that they don't have those rights. And furthermore, the federal constitution was never intended to be the document under which state citizens claim protection for their unalienable rights. States, because a constitution is a species of a contract or agreement, as we know, it's a social compact. The members of a society, they compact with one another to erect a society amongst them, or a government to, for general welfare and protection and defense and all of these things we know about. And so when the states came together, or the state citizens, the people of the states came together to erect a constitution and a government attached thereto, each person who identifies themselves as a member of that society is implicitly a signer or a signatory to that social compact. And so whenever they go to claim rights, like their natural rights or something, they're supposed to do it under state constitution. The whole concept of claiming constitutional rights, like when someone says, oh, that's a violation of my constitutional rights, 9 times out of 10, the average American is going to be talking about the federal constitution. But no individual American is a party to the federal constitution.
That's right.
So if
that's
you're not
right.
party to an agreement, then you don't have any rights to claim under that agreement. But you're, you know, because the states, they delegated the different delegates, for lack of a better word, to go to the Constitutional Convention to draft it and sign it on behalf of the states. They weren't signing as themselves or on their own behalf. They were signing in the name of the state. So the states of the union are actually party to the federal constitution, and they're the only ones who have, quote unquote, constitutional rights, if you will.
Yes.
And
I've been, I just wanted to tell you something, Tamar, that someone in our network, the administrator, Vin, he theorized, and he told me one time on a show that, he said, if you wanted to be protected by the U.S. Constitution, you should, requisition a copy of it, sign your name on it, and then send it back in. That way you would be, protected by it. Theoretically, I think he's probably right.
I couldn't speak on it myself personally, but you know what, Stephen? Me, myself personally, I wouldn't be interested in that. You know why? Because the federal constitution does not protect natural rights. It protects statutory rights. And so whenever
right.
you, as an individual American, you can sign whatever document, you can sign the constitution if you want, but that's a, in my opinion, that's a joke because the federal constitution, again, is not a compact between individuals. It's a compact between American states. And so an individual is not eligible to be party to the contract, but they don't need to be. The state governments were in existence before the federal constitution. The states erected the federal government for, you know, the common defense and things like that. So the state citizens had already come together to erect the state governments to protect their inalienable rights. That's not what the federal constitution is for. Propaganda, years and years, generations of propaganda have taught people otherwise. But no, you don't want to claim inalienable rights under the federal constitution. There are none to be claimed. That's the point. That's what I revealed in the lawsuit, and I proved it down to the T. And that's why it was wiped clean off of the record. Because you hear people, you're here with me in the United States of America. You know how often it is for someone to yell as soon as something happens to them, that's a violation of my Second Amendment right or my First Amendment right. Yes. And the courts laugh at you.
They
take silent judicial notice of the fact that you're incompetent because you're claiming constitutional rights when in all actuality, strictly speaking, there's no such thing as constitutional rights, if you will. There are either constitutionally granted rights or constitutionally protected rights. But remember, natural rights or inalienable human rights come from a higher source. And so they're not granted by a constitution. So whenever you're saying, oh, my constitutional rights, if you're referring to natural rights, you're saying you're referencing the wrong source because the constitution is not the source of those. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Yes. It's all in their wording. These people over there in Washington, they take an oath to they take an oath to serve and protect the United States of America. They don't say anything about serving and protecting the United States of, they take the oath to United States. They don't say anything about, of America. They don't have any allegiance to a government or the people. They just have allegiance to the corporation.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, Stephen, is that they do have allegiance to the people. But the thing is that the people have to know about it because rights are a species of power. In this world, they're one of the strongest or the most powerful powers, if you will. But you have to know how to exercise rights because someone who's wanting to usurp or use your rights against you is not going to help empower you to do that. What people don't realize is when you're in grade school and whatnot as a child coming up and things, the textbooks and the informational resources that you're using, they're not from a desirable source. You know what I mean? They're from big business that's going to go along with whatever the government is specifying they want the kids to learn. So it's really a system of indoctrination. And you don't realize it because it happens before you even know what indoctrination is. This happens from the time that kids, you know, as soon as you're potty trained, you're starting to be dumped off into a system that, you know, in which everything is set up to use propaganda and deceitful, untrue facts of history and things. Or, you know, like, for instance, one big thing that pops into my mind that people are so, you know, just out there and have no idea about is the Civil War. People think that it was fought to free slaves.
Right.
And that's a joke. The war was about. The slaves were only freed in the South as a war strategy because they realized that because they started in the South giving offering different
the slaves weren't given any type of human rights. They weren't given any type of any dignity as a human being.
Well, they weren't viewed. If you were a slave, you weren't viewed as a human, and that's standard all over the world throughout world history because, you know, there have been slaves of all colors. There's been white, black, whatever, red, whatever, slaves in world history. So people are ignorant to think that only people bearing my skin complexion have been slaves. How ridiculous, you know? We weren't the first and we won't be the last type of thing. But so everyone has endured harsh conditions and things. But what people don't realize is that there were black people back then that had plantations.
And they had slaves, yes.
Yes, and they had slaves as well.
But
that's what people don't realize because they go to these schools that, again, these books are published by these big publishing companies that are going to follow what the government says the kids need to learn. And so the informational sources are very biased. And what do you expect to get? If I'm an oppressor and I want to oppress you and you're going to my schools and you're using my textbooks, you think I'm going to put a lot of truth and empowering information in there to help you rise up against me one day and overthrow me?
Yeah,
absolutely not. I'm going to put half truths.
The winners get the right history.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody knows that.
A lot of people don't even know that the first official lawsuit to keep slavery in America was by a free black man who had slaves.
You know, I don't know about that myself personally, but I don't doubt it. Because what people don't know as well is that there were black judges and everything back then. They just pick and choose what they include in history books based on the story or the picture that they want to paint. You know, so that's all it is to it. And people have to realize how deep the deception goes. You're not going to just wake up one day and just snap your fingers and, oh, I get it. It all makes sense. No, you've got to go back into the fact that you've been being brainwashed since before you knew what it meant to be brainwashed. And you got to go back and re-brainwash yourself or really literally brainwash yourself. Wash your brain of all of the lies.
Well,
people
have to get to the point first to be able to admit that, Tamar.
Yeah. And that's the point that we can't get most people to at this point. They're in denial still, you know, and I understand that, because if you identify yourself with a certain culture or certain things, like, you know, it's hard to allow them to be discredited or fall away, because if you identify with them, it's like a part of your identity is going away with those, and people feel lost, like, well, who and what am I? If all of this was a lie, you know, it was real to me. And that's a scary thing, because I went through it myself, but I went through it by force.
It is.
In terms of the fact that, like I told you, what happened to me and my family, I was forced to face certain realities. Yeah. Otherwise, I don't know that I would have willingly chosen to look at or accept certain things as being true, because it's difficult. And so I understand that, but it doesn't change the truth. And
people have to be able to look themselves in the mirror and they have to admit to themselves that they were fooled or duped. And that's just very, very hard for millions and millions of people.
It's very hard, because people have built their lives, their entire lives, all the struggles and all of the whatever else that they've gone through, they have to accept that. So you mean to tell me I didn't have to go through this, or that, you know, I wasted all? Like, for instance, one of my biggest opponents at different times are people on the blogs who have negative things to say, and they're supposedly like law experts or they went to law school. They know, if they were to actually look, if any learned law person was to actually look at my work, they would realize that, you know what, as crazy as and outlandish and as scary as all this information is, this woman is absolutely right. But, you know, for them, for a law person to admit that I'm right would mean for them to admit that they were wrong in terms of all of those years of law school and all of the hundreds of thousands of dollars in
indoctrination,
late night studying.
Indoctrination,
yeah.
Yep.
And so it's hard to let that go. It's hard to tell yourself, you know what? Yeah, I've been duped out of a lot of money and a lot of, you know what I mean? All those late night studying to take these exams, trying to become a lawyer, and for nothing, because all of it is a lie. That's hard for people to do. It's easier for them to just try to discredit me and sweep it under the rug than to really look at themselves and realize that, you know what, I'm living a lie, you know?
Yeah. Well, I just have a couple more questions.
You didn't
really want a lot of time tonight, but are you taking your case onto the next level, to the appellate court or even the Supreme Court?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't really care at this point. Like, that lawsuit served the purpose for which it was intended. I just wanted to get certain information out there. And I just wanted to prove to these people that there's someone, you know, in this country that knows exactly what's going on and who's watching them and who will and can and has called them out, type of thing. Because it's so much easier for an oppressor to do stuff, like I said, in the dark when they think that no one's ever going to find out about it. I mean, there's been a lot of psychology experiments about, I think it's called like deviance in the dark or something, where you turn out the lights, you have like a group of people in the room, you turn out the lights and tell people to just go wild, type of thing. And they do all sorts of things or whatever, maybe hit each other or who knows what. But then when the lights come back on, everyone's like a deer caught in headlights, trying to pretend as though they're innocent, I guess you could say. So people who do things that they know aren't right, which people who are doing this stuff, they know it's not right. They're not completely insane. They know it's not right. But again, if there's no spotlight being shone on it, then it doesn't matter, because it's like, what are you going to do about it? People have been lied to. People really believe that knowledge is power. And what I always tell people is that knowledge is not power. Knowledge is just information. But unless you can implement that information, then it's not power. It's just information. And what good does it serve? Like, for instance, everyone has knowledge that there's a lot of corruption, but who does that empower?
Well, the passing on of this knowledge is what's powerful. Helping people is actually what's powerful. you know, it's about the only reason I'm still doing this, just from all of the people that thank benefit. Me for what I'm doing. Yeah,
right.
And benefit.
Yeah. Well, you know, in addition to knowledge, there's another component of the equation that people are missing, and that's wisdom. So the intermarriage of knowledge and wisdom are what is actually the source of power, because you have the knowledge or you have the potential. That's what knowledge is potential. But then you need the wisdom, which is the know-how to implement and conceive that that potential into whatever it is you need it to be. And so, again, people can know that there's fraud and things going on, but unless you unless you know how to use that knowledge to your benefit, then it's really not power. It's just, you know, the potential for power type of thing. And I just say that to say that it's just very important, I feel like, for the proverbial powers that be to know that there is someone here that really does know what's going on. And at this point, they know. I mean, I've communicated with the U.S. Secretary of State and all kinds of other officials on every level before that lawsuit ever went down, so to speak. I've communicated with the United Nations. Like, I had been raising HELL for months before any of that ever happened, but everyone tried to ignore me and sweep it under the rug, you know? And so then I filed the lawsuits and things blew up, and now they're just trying to sweep it under the rug. They haven't contacted me to even chastise me about what I said. And if you read that notice, I said quite a bit of stuff. But yeah, there's no punishment or no anything. And that's because they're afraid. So they just, you know, try to stay away from me. They don't want to bring more attention or anything to me. They're waiting for everything to die down. Because, you know, the thing that they tell us to do here is if you have a problem, protest, go get a sign and walk around in circles or whatever. But these days we see what happens when people try to assert rights or whatnot through protesting or trying to be peaceful or whatever, like Occupy Wall Street or what have you. I don't know. There's various examples of people trying to protest for change, but that next to never works. And when the United States government has a problem, has anybody ever seen them hold up a sign in protest? Do they protest? Do they even
not at all
have conversations? No, they get right to it, right? But they tell you to protest. You know why? Because that's an inside joke. They laugh at people holding signs because they know that
certainly
that does not have any power. What
not
people need to do instead of writing on signs, they need to be reading books and writing up lawsuits and writing up things to protect their rights and filing it in court. Not paper terrorism, like just filing crazy stuff, which is what 99.9% of it is. Because since all this has happened to me, a lot of people have reached out to me with their different theories, and they're way off in left field. So I understand why the courts make examples of them and things, because it really is just based on hearsay. What people don't realize is that all of what I said was based on 100% pure law, and that's why they're afraid of it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Is your husband still in jail?
He is.
How much longer does he have?
Again, like I said, they sentenced him to 50 years for alleged domestic violence. 50 years. You know what I mean? People rape kids and murder people and don't get 50 years in jail. So it's a little
bit
ridiculous.
Don't get 50 months.
Yeah, yeah. Sex offenders they're very lenient on sex offenders and other people like that. And the reason why is because certain types of crimes and certain types of charges net them a lot of profit. I'm sure you've heard of the prison industrial complex, how
I have.
A lot of the prisons are privately owned. And so they double dip on profits, like the taxpayers pay, but then they also will have the families of the prisoners paying,
yes,
and they'll have, you know what I mean? It's
and
just, it's really profitable. It's multi-billion-dollar industry.
Yeah.
So that's why the sentences are so ridiculous.
Yeah. And people don't even know that the jurisprudence system is tied into their pensions are tied into the prison system.
Oh, yeah.
The police, their pensions are tied into the prison system also.
Absolutely. Did you ever hear that one story about that judge? I think, don't quote me, but I think he was like in Pennsylvania, juvenile.
Yes.
What is it? Yeah, for money. He's
selling kids. Yeah.
Ruining kids' lives for
money.
Trafficking kids
for money, yes.
Trafficking kids, hitting them with harsh sentences because he was getting kickbacks. He was getting paid for it. Well, it's the same thing that happened to my husband. And like I said, I had to find out the hard way that this type of stuff happens. But I was appalled. And you got to remember, they were allegedly prosecuting him for domestic violence against me, supposedly. But then they come and pick me up at gunpoint and tackle me and throw me in an all-male suicide ward. So if they were really worried about me or my child, you know what I mean? Then they wouldn't have treated us far worse than he could have ever done. You know what I mean? They really just embellished the whole situation. It was just ridiculous. It was really ridiculous. I mean, there's no words.
Somebody had an interesting question. This was his, was this his first conviction?
He had no criminal record, okay. Nothing at all whatsoever.
All right. It's not like it was a three strikes and you're out type of deal then, was it?
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. He did not have a criminal record or anything. No. And that's another kicker about the whole situation. So it's just ridiculous. And, you know, he doesn't need pity and I don't need pity because usually, the main victims of this type of stuff are people who are less educated or don't have as many resources available to them. But I'm certainly not one of those people. So they chose the wrong person to try to get over on, I guess you could say, because what they've only done is compelled me to learn about the big fraud that's going on and then make other people aware of it. Whereas when they do it to other people who can't defend themselves or can't properly defend themselves against all the corruption, it just kind of flies and nobody ever really hears or knows about it. But we've all heard of cases where somebody might spend 15 years in prison or 20 years in prison and then DNA evidence that comes out 20 years later proves that they're not guilty. I mean, that's really inexcusable. And society just goes on like, that's okay. That's not okay. Like, to take 20 years of somebody's life, like, if they had kids, do you understand that child will have went from being a baby to a grown adult? Like, it's just, it's disgusting. I'm just disgusted with the system. I don't know, again, that I'm necessarily an anarchist, but I'm disgusted with the system nonetheless. It's disgusting. It's shameful. It's embarrassing. And there's no excuse. Like, grown people should do a lot better. And I'm just appalled. Yeah. And I absolutely against all of the foolishness.
Just one last question. I do promise this to Tamara. Do you think
that's okay?
Do you think your ethnic background had any type of a role in what the outcome of? Do you? Okay.
With the situation of everything that happened to me?
Yes.
I think that they tried to racially profile me, but they made a mistake again because the average person that is in the South who's black, I guess. They don't have the same educational background as me.
Okay.
Let's just be honest. They weren't expecting me to be as smart as I am. They picked the wrong one. That's exactly my point. I did high school, of course, and I graduated from high school with the International Baccalaureate Diploma, and I was only one of two brown people in the entire county that did, and only one of a handful in the entire country. And of course, the International Baccalaureate Diploma is one that's standardized. It's like the highest achievement for high school age kids anywhere in the world because it's an international curriculum. And so you start taking college classes and things in high school. So I did that. Then when I went to undergrad, I triple majored in Spanish, French, and International Studies. I did my semester abroad in Buenos Aires, Argentina. So yes, I'm fluent in Spanish and French. I wanted to get into international law and politics. I was courted by the State Department for the Foreign Services because I wanted to do like international law starting out and then get into an ambassador position because, you know, you're elected to become a senior ambassador. It's not a job that you can apply for. Like, you've got to be in the Foreign Services and be elected.
Right.
And so I wanted to do international law, work for the UN type of thing until I could hopefully be elected to become an ambassador type of thing. And they were offering me scholarships and everything. They were going to pay for, you know, grad school and everything. And I just had to promise to stay in the State Department, the Foreign Services Department, for 2 years, and they would pay for everything. But I decided I didn't want to commit 2 years to the federal government, especially after I found out, like, all kinds of, like, stuff that I don't agree with or like. I just didn't want to be a part of it.
Corruption.
So I'm like a defect. I'm someone, and, you know, I've been courted and approached by the CIA and the FBI. They come to, like, career fairs and things like that, or they check your standardized test scores and things like this. People think that you take standardized tests and stuff just for fun. No, they're tracking and comparing students, and certain ones stick out, and those are the ones that will get approached. I've been approached type of thing, but I'm more of a divergent or a defect. I was supposed to be on the other side, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But I defected because I just don't agree with it.
Right, right. Yeah, they don't really want people with morals. That's the bottom line to it.
You can't have morals. Let's be honest. You cannot have morals and be wholeheartedly devoted to the United States government. And it's not just the federal government here. It's other governments, too.
It is.
You know, we're not the only ones that have a lot of foolishness going on. But the fact of the matter is, you can't work for the U.S. government and have your morals 100% intact. And that's the conflict of interest for me, because I'm not going to compromise my morals or the truth or anything like that for anyone or anything. So.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, if you need to go, we can go ahead and call this a show here.
Sure. It's fine. Either way, I'm fine.
Well, yeah, you asked me for just 30 minutes, and it's been over 30 minutes, so...
Yeah, I realize that, but that's okay. I understand that perhaps you and the audience would like to know some of what's going on, and that's part of my mission is to help people know.
Yeah. I tell you what, Tamai, you're a very smart cookie, and I think you could probably have your own show on just about any network that you wanted to get on with the knowledge that you've gained and, from your circumstances.
Perhaps. I never really considered it.
Yeah. Well, there's a big thirst for knowledge out there, and there's a big thirst for the truth. And, people that speak it, sometimes they're ridiculed, but a lot of times they're listened to.
Yeah. And that's why I'm not at all bitter about what happened. Like you said, how long will it be until my husband gets out? I'm not worried about it, Stephen. He's going to get out in due time. And I don't mean in 50 years. That's a joke. He's not going to serve that full sentence. They've lost their freaking minds. And yeah. I don't have any problem saying that to whomever. He won't be there for that long. He'll get out. I'm not even worried about it. Type of thing. Like the whole system is like a joke. And I expose that and stuff. It's only a matter of time. Before things unfold and they start rolling in our and the rest of the people's favor. And that's what I'm here for, is to bear the truth and to, stand my ground loud and proud. Like I don't know fear anymore. When that situation happened with my husband, my family, I was in my early 20s. I was crushed emotionally and mentally. I was like in a state of complete devastation. You know, I was like free falling in outer space, kind of mentally and emotionally, like nothing made sense anymore. I didn't have anything or anyone to hold on to, you know, type of thing. Like everything was just insane type of thing. And so I had to take a little bit of time to rebuild myself. And now I'm like more solid than a rock. Like what I tell people is that during that time frame and having everything happen, especially with my child, that was the most detrimental thing to me, because we love our kids. But anyhow, so that was the most detrimental. And I literally died in that moment. Like I was physically alive, but I was dead. You know what I mean? In my heart and everything, I was dead. Like I didn't care after that happened with my child. I didn't care about anything. I died then. But then now I'm resurrected. And at this point, I'm immortal. At this point, these people know I'm not afraid of them. They know I know all their secrets. And they just don't mess with me. They don't bother me. Like I tell people all the time, like I don't have a driver's license. And I'm not saying anybody else should, you know, do what I do unless they're going to really do what I do, which is also study, not just throw their driver's license out the window.
Well, you're not driving. You're traveling.
I've studied a lot. Right. And so all of these types of things, driver's license and things like that, I don't even bother with it. But you know what? They don't bother me. And I don't pay federal income taxes. And I don't know if you had a chance to read that notice, but I wrote a document called Why Most Americans Do Not Inherently Owe Federal Income Taxes. In the very beginning of it, I say outright that I don't pay federal income taxes, but the IRS does not contact me. I mean, I've contacted them. They won't even speak to me, you know?
So I was going to mention that earlier too. The same type of argument always comes up in the federal cases, federal tax evasion cases. Somebody will bring up that the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that the American people don't have to pay federal taxes, and the judge constantly, every single case, denies the case because he said, well, I don't really care what the U.S. Supreme Court says. That decision does not apply in my court.
You know why? And he's right. That decision doesn't apply in tax court. You shouldn't be in tax court in the first place.
Exactly.
And somebody who really knows their rights would have, you know, one thing about power, everyone wants power. Everyone wants to walk around untouchable and above the law and things like that. But people don't understand a lot of responsibility comes with power. The amount of power and freedom that you have is commensurate with the amount of responsibility and liability that you have. So the more responsible you're willing to be, the more powerful you can also be. I'm 100,000% responsible for myself. And so I'm 100,000% empowered. And yes, I do walk above the law, because I do. is beyond question at this point. And all the naysayers, that's why they're dying down too at this point, because everyone was like, oh, she's going to get in trouble for contempt of court. She's going to get in trouble. And I, you know, made my little declaration on my Facebook that everyone's saying I'm going to get in trouble. Just watch. Nothing's going to happen to me.
Yeah.
You naive people. Like,
I forgot.
The law applies to you, you know, because you're below the law because you have not
studied
to understand you're
that's
not
right.
supposed to be.
That's right.
Yeah. You haven't done your due diligence, and so you're exactly where you're supposed to be, which is commensurate with the amount of responsibility for your own life.
Are you
taking on?
I'm sorry, I'm keeping you here, Tamar, but that's
okay.
That's a lot of what the media and the government their argument is. See, some of these people don't believe that they're I'm sorry, I'm kind of losing my track here, but a lot of people don't know that they are above the law because the laws don't apply to us. And that's what their argument is. They will say something like, well, these people think that they're above the law.
Because it's a catch 22, Stephen.
It is.
Because you're supposed to be above certain laws. Because, in the United States of America, first of all, there are two classes of citizenship. Most people, 99.99999 with a little line over it, I forget what the name is for that. That just means that the number just keeps repeating. So 99.9% of the American population, they are second class citizens. They've contracted themselves into second class citizenship or status. And me, I'm first class. And that's why the court isn't doing anything to me, because you can't just say, oh, this law doesn't apply to me. That's not a legal argument.
Right.
You've got to be able to meticulously prove it. And when the judge is trying to throw the book at you, you've got to throw it back at him and he'll stop messing with you. And I don't mean literally type of thing, but that's why we went back and forth over the course of months. Again, these federal lawsuits were filed in July 2014 and just now this year, 2015 of March, they were just now summing up, because there was months and hundreds of pages of going back and forth where they were all, like I said, the assistant state attorney, general of Georgia, two private federal attorneys, magistrate judge Linda T. Walker. They were all throwing different arguments at me to stomp me. And I was just throwing everything back at them. Like literally I was turning out 20 and 50 pages in a day because they were all bombarding me at the same time, trying to make me slip up, because there's a time frame within which you can file your rebuttals. It may be anywhere from, a couple of days, to a couple of weeks. But if you don't file it in time, it doesn't matter. You can be as right as you want to be. They're going to throw you out because you didn't meet the cutoff. So that's what they would do. Little stuff like that. They would all throw these big arguments at me type of thing. And I would like literally sometimes spend the entire day from sunup to sundown meticulously forming my rebuttals and defenses, so that I wouldn't lose the fight because I didn't respond in time. And so they couldn't stop me. I was turning out a lot of paperwork that I have right here with all of my certified mail receipts. So like I said, the judge said I didn't oppose it. What a joke. Not only did I oppose all of them, I whooped all of them very badly, okay?
So you still have you still have all the evidence then, right?
Of course. I have all of my paperwork. I sent the paperwork via certified mail. That's what people don't understand too. Like, people ask me all kinds of questions and they want me to give them advice and stuff. And it's like, I can't spend my time, as much as I want to help people, I can't spend my time talking to people one by one and doing all this stuff for them, because a lot of people, believe it or not, want something for free. And what they don't really,
they do.
We're upward of $30,000 to be, sending out all my certified mail and all of the time and fees and everything that I put into those lawsuits. It wasn't free. It was far from free,
Yes.
And what people are only seeing is the glory from it all. The fact that I cursed the judge out and told him to go screw himself pretty much. And, I said it much more
harshly,
much more harshly than that. So people just see the glorious aspect of something, like the gain from it. They don't see the pain. And that's what I mean. That's why most people are not destined for true sovereignty or power, or whatever you want to call it, is because they're not willing to walk that,
No,
you don't just arrive at the destination automatically. I mean, I walked a path, and I was, what are those things called? Machetes, swing blade or whatever, cutting out the tall grass and stuff. I was blazing a trail,
a Sith?
And it was hard, and I've gotten cuts and scratches and stuff from it. Like I said, I spent thousands, my family spent thousands, not paying an attorney. If we wouldn't have been able to pay an attorney for the type of work that was put in, type of thing, because attorneys are officers of the court, which means their first allegiance is to the court. And so they're not even allowed to go in and expose certain stuff if they were able to understand it in the first place. And the type of information that we're working with here that I understand that I've uncovered, again, 99, I'm just going to say 100% with the exception of myself, literally, people don't get it. And I've heard people with their arguments, they come very close, but no one quite gets it. A lot of people, there are plenty of people, Stephen, that have done, you know, their fair share of due diligence, but they still don't quite get it. And I haven't heard anybody who's like really gotten it. I've heard people who've gotten close and some people have been way far off. Most people are way far off.
Yeah.
But yeah, so back to what you said about the Supreme Court saying that Americans, a lot of Americans aren't supposed to pay taxes or whatnot, but then the judge says that doesn't apply in my court. He's absolutely right. That doesn't apply in his court. But there's a history, or there's a method to that madness that people don't understand. I would never be in tax court, you know, because taxes do not apply to me. And I would write to the court in advance and let them know, hey, you've got the wrong one. I have such and such rights.
That's right.
You know, I know exactly what's going on here, and I won't be
that's
in court.
That's not me on that piece of paper anyways. Fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's right. You guys have fun in court. I won't be there.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And so that.
Well, they invite you to court anyways.
Oh, go ahead.
They invite you to every court.
Oh, yeah.
You're
well,
invited
most
to go to court. Yeah.
Made to come. You have to go because it's like people want to benefit from the system and live off of the system, but then say, oh, you can't control me. You're not the boss of me, which just sounds like a bratty kid talking to their parent, you know, nan-nan, boo-boo, I'm not going to do it, make me type of thing. Just really immature.
Yeah.
But when you really get to a certain place, it's not like nan-nan, boo-boo, you're not the boss of me, but send me my government check. It's like, keep that money because I see exactly how this whole entire system works. I'm going to start my own businesses and I'm going to be very secretly wealthy, you know, benefiting, running my own businesses, getting around all of your little tax requirements and all your legal filing requirements. And I'm just going to start whatever business I want. I'm going to get paid handsomely and you can't do anything about it. You better stay in your lane. And that's what's essentially happened. My family has businesses and they can't do anything. I don't pay taxes on anything. We don't pay taxes on anything, not for our businesses, not, you know, for, well, you know, we'll go to the store to buy candy or food or whatever. They take the taxes out. But I mean, like income taxes. I mean, like usually corporations and other businesses get hit very hard. Nope, not here.
Yeah.
And they know better. Like I said, the IRS, that's why in my publication, why most Americans do not inherently owe the federal income taxes. I say, let me start out by saying I don't pay taxes and I won't be paying taxes. And then I also say that, if you're a U.S. state or a federal official and you have questions for me because if you know everything that I'm declaring in this document, I'd love to hear from you.
Uh-huh.
I say I'd love to hear from you because I've contacted all these people and I've presented my information and they will not contact me back. I've contacted Secretary of State Kerry like a lot of times. This man will not respond to anything that I said. Usually with so-called paper terrorists and sovereign citizens, they're real happy to bam them out, railroad
them,
they
are.
They're, you know, just ridiculous. They won't even speak to me, you know. And it even got to the point in that federal lawsuit where the judge started denying me access to the court. You know, the court wouldn't even speak to me at one point.
Yeah. Well, because he knew that you were the court when you walked in and he wasn't.
He knows that I owned that court. I owned it while I was there. I owned him, too, before I left. So, you know, whatever.
I think, what's next for you then, Tama?
I am working on some educational materials because what I understand is very complex. And I don't expect the average person to just be able to get it. Because to be honest with you, I didn't just pick up some books and get it. To be honest with you, I went through this whole long spiritual journey or whatnot, if you will, because I had to really do some soul searching again to rebuild myself after being crushed by the system and the corruption. I was just, my heart was broken. You know, I was just complete, utter, whatever, state of just a bad place. And so I had to really do some soul searching to reveal myself, to make sense of things. I mean, I studied everything to religious books like the Bible. I thoroughly studied the Bible. And at this point, I'm not religious, but I don't have any malintent or anything bad to say about anybody who is. That's their choice. But I studied the Bible thoroughly because I just felt like, you know, the character, the person named Jesus, he said a lot of stuff that just struck me as being more philosophical as opposed to religious. And so I really wanted to understand the message behind what he was saying. Not just, I didn't want to say the Lord's, just go say the Lord's Prayer and go to church. I wanted to get, like, really internalize the message that seems to be embedded in his message. And so I did. And you know, that the person that may or may not have existed named Jesus, no offense to anyone or their religious beliefs. He said things like the kingdom of heaven is inside of you. So if he says that, then why are people going to, I don't know, why are they looking somewhere else other than what their leader is saying, you know? So anyhow, yeah. So I did all the soul searching, the spiritual type of things. I studied everything from Buddhism to Christianity. I studied it all because I wanted to make sense and see what everyone was saying, see everybody's different perspective on what is supposed to be the truth and things. And there's a lot of philosophy underlying all of those religious doctrines. And it's not, none of them are at all about religion, but a lot of people miss that. There's a greater message there that is greater than religion or any one God or whatever you want to call it. But anyhow. So the way that I'm able to understand, like, what people don't get is that at this point, law, I can do this in my sleep. Like, I breathe this. It's not even a challenge for me. I just get it. Like, we're one in the same. And that's why in the document, I told the judge, like, I am justice. Like, this is like a part of my being, if you will. Like, I just, you know how in the Matrix, Neo, once he woke up or whatever, he was seeing those green numbers. Well, for me, I don't see green numbers. It's like I am. They like run through my being.
You just know things. You just know things, and
I just know it.
You just realize things. Yes.
Yeah, and it's and so I studied in things. I studied and studied, but the way that I really got it is it came from a higher source, whatever people want to call that, or
a download or something. Yeah.
Yeah, it was more. It's more like a download that just like flows through me. It's not something. Like just studying the Constitution.
It's the universe giving you the okay to be a spiritual being. It's the universe giving you all this information.
Yeah, and not just be a spiritual being, but to be able to bear the light of truth for a world that is really in a species of dark ages, but thinks that they're so advanced because of all the little iPhones and things. But this is the dark ages.
It is.
And you say that to the average person.
For knowledge and spirituality, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing it. No, you're not. This is the dark ages. For someone who's intelligent, it's like being surrounded by
idiots.
Barbarians.
Morons or idiots, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Lazy, you know,
well,
irresponsible.
I've said it quite a few times. I couldn't be any kind of a federal agent or somebody that worked for the government, or even I couldn't even work for a police force with the knowledge that I have. Police turn a blind eye, and federal agents and people that work for the government turn a blind eye to crime and corruption every minute of their
It's an impossibility to be like an incumbent official of any kind, police, judge, whatever, and not see some very heinous things go on. They know it goes on, but a lot of people turn a blind eye. They try to deny it because then they can have an excuse for not doing anything about it, or they think they can, you know. But you asked me what's for me now. What's for me now? I'm trying to package the information that I understand, or at least a significant amount of it, in a way that it can be easily digested for mass consumers or mass consumption or whatnot. So as far as explaining the history of the world and everything about American jurisprudence, that's not realistic, but just explaining the basics just enough for people to know so they can protect and defend themselves against the corruption. That's all I really need to know. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I'm working on that. And that's why I have the justicehascome.com website, where I'm putting together information. I'm trying to get people to help contribute, because at this point, it's all my time and money that's going into it. But it's like, wait a minute here. I'm not the one who needs this. So why am I spending all my time and money on it when the people who need it, they need to be the ones paying for it because it's for their benefit, you know? But it's really hard to get people to contribute to non-mainstream stuff or whatever.
It is. Well, I'm going to go ahead and let you go here now. I'm running a little bit late myself. I need to get somewhere. So, I mean, we're going to have to keep in touch, and we're going to have to do this again. I can see that.
Okay, well, it was great, and thank you for having me, and yeah.
Well, okay. Do you have a video camera?
Like on my computer, or like a handheld?
Yes. On your computer, yes.
There's a webcam built into it.
Is there? Okay. Well, I do a video presentation, put it up on YouTube. So if we do this again, maybe you could think about doing video next time.
Perhaps.
Okay. Well, have a good night over there.
Okay, you too.
And thank you for coming on.
No problem. Bye.
All right, that was Tamaa Jada Clark. Very intelligent woman. Very, very smart cookie, that's for sure. I want to thank her for coming on, and I need to get going again myself tonight. Very soon here, though, on Wednesday nights, I'll be doing a full 2 hours. I'm going to be dropping my Wednesday night pool night and picking up a different night on Tuesday night, so I'll be able to do a full 2 hour shows. So thank you for coming out, everyone. Yes, she is a very lovely lady and smart. So thanks for coming out, everyone. I'm Stephen Roberts, and this has been Cancel the Cabal. And until Sunday.